Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. Whether you are here for the live session or enjoying the recording, thank you for being here. Wisdom Wednesday was created as an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Yes, to open to the ground of wisdom, which is transformation of the human consciousness and the heart. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations, and each one will be followed by a period of sacred pause to step into the practice of contemplation, where you'll be invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Resonate. Does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect. An opportunity to ponder deeply, to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. All kinds of ways to respond, by journaling or prayer or body movement. Rest, to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After those three contemplations, we'll close with a spiritual practice. We'd like to offer you one each week to have something to work with. And then some group dialogue for those of us here on Crowdcast. Our theme today is prophetic hope. So with an open heart, with a calm, centered presence, and a gentle breath, let us begin. Now, prophets express the new realities against the more visible ones of the old order. That's what prophets like to do. We are energized not by that which we already possess, but by that which is promised and about to be given. Energizing is closely linked to hope. And prophets nurture and evoke a new way of thinking. They give us images and words which subvert our system and tell us that we haven't seen the whole picture yet. You see, prophets are concerned with transformation and freedom of the heart. The prophet creates a new, freeing consciousness which allows us to hear the divine word. And prophets, well, they plant a promise, an alternative and new vision. And what gives us the energy and power to keep moving is the promise. The dream, the vision of what could be and what's beyond the moment. That's the hope of God's promises. And this is the way that divine love stretches our hearts. This is the way we are reborn again and again and again until we enter, through death, the promise of a deeper life. Now, God's promises energize and expand the heart, deepening our capacity for life and our quality of being in the world. This is the only overcoming of death, the only answer to the absurdity that this time is going to end. That's what the promises of God do. They lead us to the experience of deeper life. The gospel writers, they simply call it resurrection. And friends, God says, "I have a dream. Help me to realize it." It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty, its war and hostility, its greed and harsh competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony are changed into their glorious counterparts. When there will be more laughter, joy, and peace. where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. I have a dream that swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that my children will know that they are members of one family, the human family, God's family, my family. And in God's family, there are no outsiders. All are insiders. Black and white, rich and poor, gay and straight, Jew and Arab, Palestinian and Israeli, Roman Catholic and Protestant, Serb, Albanian, Houthi and Tutsi, Muslim and Christian, Buddhist and Hindu, Pakistani and Indian, all belong. And God's dream for an inclusive community is embodied, incarnate in Jesus, regarding one another not just as equal, but as sisters and brothers, members of one family, God's family. Friends, take a breath. Take a moment now to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Friends, injustice and evil are not the final reality. The final reality is the comfort and compassion of God. God is not neutral, but is involved in history. And Isaiah gives hope to the people who must try to sing the sacred songs in a strange land. In exile and despair, there is a word of hope. God speaks words of comfort and hope. You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Hope is not primarily for the future. It is for the now. Hope is a way of seeing time and understanding the present. It's a way of tasting and receiving this moment, the moment. It gives us the capacity to enter into the future in a new way. And in that sense, we can all hope for true realism. Because hope takes seriously all the many possibilities that fill the moment. And hope sees all the alternatives. It recognizes and creates an alternative consciousness. The person who can see the moment fully is never hopeless. That is the power of the prophets. to recognize that there is always another way for the promise to be fulfilled, another way for divine love to reach us. And friends, we are coming to the end of a world, not the world. What has been familiar to us is a framework in which we have lived our lives for a very long time. That's what is ending. And how it ends will be very much up to us. We have many choices in front of us, but not this one, that the world we know is ending. And it is incumbent upon us to expand our experience of faith to embrace the full reality of our predicament and to inform the decisions we make from here on out. You see, this is what Yeshua did. Face his world fully and honestly, not shying away from the suffering or the disquieting demands that it would make on him. And we need a faith now that can help us face this world that we have made and help us find a way through and beyond it. We seek a place for an experience of the divine within it, a new sense of our true home, of our cherished place in the cosmos and on this planet. A spiritual space large enough to contain all of our fears and all of our hopes, all of our questions and all of our bewilderment. We need a sense of God that embraces that drama fully, with urgency, with passion, with love. So embracing our shared stories and faith as we navigate the challenges of our changing world will shape us into a more resilient and connected humanity. Connected humanity offering hope, strength, and a deeper connection to faith in the face of transformation. So friends, take another gentle breath. Embrace the moment. Enter into the silence to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Memory is a key to understanding, bridging individual experience to a larger whole. Now, just as St. Paul prayed for love and understanding, we too must seek these qualities to grasp the divine. Our remembrance that God remembers us paves the way to a promising future, the path John the Baptizer foresaw. And without memory, there is no pain or hope. It is the source of both. We must embrace both the joys and sorrows in our liberation history to heal. Memory prepares us for liberation. It makes us receptive to love and allows us to relish in it fully. And in recalling the good, we gain the strength to combat the evil that threatens us. Guidance from those who remember clearly, who have traveled the path, is essential. To discard selective and incomplete memories, we must listen to those who speak the truth. So we should seek companions who walk the path of memory with us, helping us overcome obstacles. Together, we will witness the salvation of God. The Baptist call to repentance is a call to remember and to bear the consequences of that remembrance. It's a challenging task, but necessary for the pursuit of truth. Rise, Jerusalem, and survey your entire life, recognizing the gifts God has freely bestowed. Our hope is rooted in the past. Rejoice in being remembered by God. Now, hope's home is at the innermost point in us. It's in us and in all things. It is a quality of aliveness. It does not come at the end as the feeling that results from a happy outcome. Rather, it lies at the beginning as a pulse of truth that sends us forth. And when our innermost being is attuned to this pulse, it will send us forth in hope, regardless of the physical circumstances of our lives. Hope fills us with the strength to stay present, to abide in the flow of the mercy, no matter what outer storms assail us. And it is entered always and only through surrender. That is, through the willingness to let go of everything we are presently clinging to. What are you clinging to? And yet when we enter it, it enters us and fills us with its own life, a quiet strength beyond anything we have ever known. And since that strength is, in fact, a piece of God's purposeness, coursing like sap through our own being, it will lead us in the right way. It sweeps us along in the greater flow of divine life as God moves towards the fulfillment of divine purpose, which is the deeper, more intense, more subtle, more intimate revelation of the heart of God. And friends, through contemplative practice and surrender, we can experience God's mystical hope and become a healing presence to the world. In the contemplative journey, as we swim down in those deeper waters toward the wellsprings of hope, we begin to experience and trust what it means to lay down self, to let go of ordinary awareness, and surrender ourselves to the mercy of God. So we practice that now as we step into the silence and swim down into the deeper waters toward the wellsprings of hope and do what we can to lay down self, to to let go of our ordinary awareness and surrender ourselves to the mercy of God. Friends, today our spiritual practice comes to us from Randy Woodley. You'll see his credit in the credits at the end. We titled this, We Are Still Here. And it's, in my mind, it's more of a lesson that we practice by trying to learn it each day for a while. Let me start with Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 7. Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. So in this practice, Randy reflects on how we can learn from the sustained hope of indigenous communities. Throughout Indian country, one phrase rings true, no matter where you go. And that phrase is, we are still here. We are still here. It may not seem like such a profound statement, at first anyway, but given the numerous attempts at cultural assimilation and genocide that have decimated many Native American populations by 95% since 1492, and given that indigenous people still have some of the worst living conditions on Turtle Island, that statement means a lot. We are still here speaks directly to the hope that remains in America's First Nations. In Indian country, any hope is good hope. This hope, sustained through poverty, racism, poor housing, chronic disease, and a host of other maladies, is not based on utopianism. The earned hope of which we're speaking about is built on a spirituality of relationship with the land and with all living creation, and on respect for elders who sacrifice to give the generations to follow them a future. This very real hope recognizes that earth endures and that we can still do enough to reverse the damage done. After all, the earth is much stronger and more resilient than any human being. Although human beings are a part of the earth, we may be the more expendable. Randy says this gives him pause, as well as a much longer view of our history and our future. He says, I think Mother Nature is going to be okay in the end. I just hope we will be here long enough to see it. Although it might make us feel pretty insignificant, another way to turn the phrase is this: we are still here, for now, but the earth remains forever. So friends, the invitation is to remind yourself, to use this practice as a reminder of that kind of hope, and see how it might change you or have meaning for you. And now this is the point where we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners, and thank you for being part of this. And we hope that you'll join us live on Crowdcast to become part of the discussion that follows. But for now, friends, remember that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome and be love, and we hope to see you again soon.